Peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. Subscribe if you have not already. We know that there's a growing trend, a rise of Islamophobia. But did you know that to be anti-Islam is to be anti-Jesus? Did you know to be anti-Islam is to be anti-Moses? You're probably wondering, how is that? Well, that's why you've tuned into the Dean Show, and you're going to stay tuned in because we have the answers to many of the things that's been on your mind. And someone's guided you to watch the right show so we can unclear the mind and hopefully you have a totally new perspective. Back in a moment with my guest who's been battling this Islamophobia for some time. So we're going to be right back here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Dean Show.
Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, Sheikh, Imam, Dr. Mursi? How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
How is it in the sunny state of Florida?
It's sunny and it's hot.
But they were talking about some airport prayer room. Tell us about this.
Well, we have been working with the airport authority at the Orlando International Airport to provide prayer space for Muslim travelers, and Orlando gets over 55 million visitors each year. And of course, many of those are Muslims who travel to the attractions at Walt Disney World and SeaWorld and Universal Studios, Kennedy Space Center. So they find it difficult, especially in the international terminal, not to have a place to pray. And we have asked the airport authorities to, as part of their customer service and the enhancement of that service, to provide space for traveling Muslims. And they have responded positively, and they have prepared a nice space for that, which created a little bit of a firestorm for anti-Muslim groups who see Islam in a very negative way and think that the airport authority was wrong to make such a space, even though we said that that space would be also open to all faith communities. For anyone who wants to pray to God, there's space. We are not trying to be exclusive, but we believe that a lot of passengers, you know, over 80% of people in the world, they believe in God, and they want at time to pray. So it's a natural thing for the airport to do it. There are many airports like O'Hare, like JFK, like Heathrow, like Frankfurt, Amsterdam. They all have spaces for prayers, so the traveler can really find time to talk to God.
Now when I opened up the show, I talked about to be anti-Islam to be is to be anti-Jesus, to be anti-Islam is to be anti-Moses. I'll get into that question in a moment, but for the person that hears now prayer room in an airport, and they're like, this doggone Muslims, and they got the Sharia now in the airports, and they're taking over. Have you heard some of this rhetoric?
I heard that rhetoric, but it has nothing to do with Sharia or taking over the airport. The airport has spaces for people to eat, has spaces for people to use the restroom, has playgrounds for kids. Because when you have to wait for 2 hours, sometimes more, to catch your flight, and that's a time of anxiety, a time of nervousness. You go through security, you may have forgotten something. And with all the news we hear about people, you know, dying on flights, flights are crashing around the world. So people are not all, you know, very happy to be on a flight. They are nervous. Prayer is a way for the traveler to get calm, to be prepared for a long journey. And that actually helps the people at the airport, other passengers. It helps the security at the airport. And we feel that everybody is should be given the permission to pray, you know. And it has nothing to do with taking over the airport or implementing Sharia.
Doggone it, if I want to pray, I want to pray. And you can pray too. It'll probably be better for you now.
It's better for everyone.
It rid some of this hatred in your heart.
Yes. And doctors tell you that it is healthy for, it's better for your health to pray so that you put your trust in God and things will be okay. And you go on your journey with that trust. And you don't have to be a nervous wreck when you're bored.
So Muslim free zone. Do they got? Is this happening in Florida?
In Florida too.
What's going on? How can you? I mean, at one point it was like a black free zone. Get to the back of the bus. And now are they trying to do this to Muslims?
Well, in reaction to the tragic events in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where a so-called Muslim went on a shooting rampage. Some of those anti-Muslim groups also went out to try to express their anger by creating these Muslim-free zones. They don't want to sell to Muslims. They don't want to deal with Muslims simply because they don't know Muslims. They don't know Islam. And they don't understand Islam is peace. And we are citizens who love this country and we are willing to defend it. But the rhetoric they hear on television, on the radio, all the time, from groups that really don't like Islam, to put it bluntly, are making a lot of Americans nervous and leading to these kinds of Muslim free zones and businesses free zones that don't want Muslims to come.
Now, many of our viewing audience, if they didn't get a chance, because we've had you some years ago on the show, and you actually tackled this head on. There was actually a person who was trying to burn the Quran, Jerry Jones, what's his name?
Pastor Terry Jones.
Yes, and you actually were the person that was
having
a dialogue with him.
I had to go to his church in Gainesville, Florida, and to convince him to cancel the Quran burning that he had planned. And it was an event that captured the international attention, media from all over the world. And it led to a lot of conflicts in Afghanistan and other places where people really didn't like what this pastor was doing. But many Christians, great, good Christians who have asked him not to do it, he wasn't listening. And I had to go two days consecutively and meet with him while he was armed and dangerous to try to convince him not to do it because it's not good for anybody. And thanks to God, I was successful, and we had peaceful Eid at that time. But some hate groups convinced him several months later to do it anyway, and unfortunately, it led to what we feared, people dying in Afghanistan at a UN compound because of his actions.
So we had this situation, whatever, we got to go to break, but we want to find out what happened to this pastor. He was trying to burn the Quran, and then how would you respond? We got someone trying to eat the Quran. This is something also real crazy. Back with more here in the Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
The question is about whether Muslims are or not good citizens. The Constitution defines what a good citizen is. In the preamble it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility." To any Muslim that can say that is a good Muslim. And most Muslims can say that. Most Muslims will embrace that. Most Muslims are good Americans.
This is the Deen, this is the Deen Show.
Back here on the Deen Show, and to be anti-Muslim is to be anti-Jesus, a bold statement. We're going to address this, not yet.
Okay.
What happened to Terry, Pastor Jones? Whatever happened to him?
Well, first he lost his church. He moved from Gainesville, went to Pinellas County near Tampa, Florida. And the last I know is he opened a Fry's, you know, in a little shop inside the mall selling French fries.
So he was trying to jump on board on the Islamophobia industry, trying to actually take advantage.
Yes.
And that didn't work
out.
He
was, yeah, exactly. It didn't work out. He printed T-shirts saying Islam is of the devil. He, you know, made mugs, coffee mugs. He did everything to try to make money out of Islamophobia, but then, you know, Americans turned their backs on him and that business venture failed. So now he is doing French fries.
I mean, that's what happens. You know, you spew in hate, you're a proponent of hate, and you end up being humiliated at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell us now, we're going to go to this clip. We talked about him trying to end up burning the Quran. This person trying to eat the Quran.
You will burn in hell. Look at this.
Don't touch it.
Look at your holy book.
He's acting like a real Muslim.
Look at it.
Look at it. That's a real Muslim.
It is hate.
Okay, you got to see this disturbing clip. I'm not so, you know, you have these lunatics out there who are trying to provoke, you know, people, these kids going to school. We did a show on this before. I'm more concerned that now when Muslims, they end up falling for this, they end up maybe acting inappropriately. And then the person says, "Now gotcha." So the Muslim will do something ignorant also in response to ignorance. So then the camera will catch this, and then you just made a fool out of yourself. You didn't help the cause of propagating the truth. What advice do you have?
I think we have seen for a number of years now that every few weeks some crazy person would come out trying to provoke Muslims, either by doing, you know, caricature of the Prophet or writing an article to insult Muslims or doing something, you know, to show their distasteful attitude towards the Quran or the Prophet. And they have in the past succeeded in provoking some Muslims, and the media loves to capture those provoked Muslims and how they react negatively. And they overlook the provocateurs who brought that situation to begin with. My advice to Muslims is the Prophet, peace be upon him, was provoked, but he was patient and he did not get angry. And as you know, when we fast, if somebody provoke us, the Prophet said, you should say, "I'm fasting." You should not fall for it. You should not respond in kind, because that's not Islam. Islam means to be peaceful. A Muslim means the peaceful person. And if someone provokes you or insults you, say peace and move away. Do not respond to this kind of madness. You know, in every society, there are fanatics, there are lunatics who act like this, and it's not our job to fix them or respond to them. We just have to say peace, salam, and move away.
That's it. I mean, you're not going to help the situation. I mean, you shouldn't be cursing anyway.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be throwing a punch. You shouldn't be getting violent. That's not
going to help at all.
At all.
And it's going to prove a point that they're trying to make.
Yeah.
And they, time and again, they try to provoke us. Sometimes they do a video about the Prophet. Sometimes they do caricature of the Prophet. And we know our Prophet. We know the Prophet wasn't anything like what they're describing. He was a man of peace, man of justice, man of loving everyone, and we need to be like him and not respond in kind to these provocations.
Have you had also recently, you've had some of these organized efforts where people will actually come with guns in front of the houses of God, of worship. Have you seen this in Florida? We had it in Arizona recently.
We have seen it in Arizona. We had at our mosque a group that flew from Texas, okay, and organized in front of the mosque in the right of way, and they had megaphones and they were shouting and screaming just like the video we saw. You're going to hell, you're going to burn in hell, and all of these provocations. But it was in the height of summer in July in Florida, where, you know, it's 100 degrees with 100% humidity. So I felt sorry for them, and I sent the volunteers with water and lemonade. I said, these people are going to pass out if you don't give them some water. So we don't respond in kind. We respond as Muslims the way our Prophet taught us, you know, go to them, give them chilled water, let them calm down, and understand that if they think we're going to hell, that's their opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. But we know better. We know that Islam is peace. And we have to live that peace when we are dealing with our neighbors.
Actually, when the Muslims invited, you know about this, when they invited some of the key organizers into the mosque, totally different, change of heart happened.
Exactly. And that's the strategy. you need to know that these people are ignorant. They don't know what Islam is. So instead of arguing with them and fighting with them, invite them, bring them in, feed them, give them something to drink, let them rest, let them see for themselves. Our mosques are open to everyone. By the way, the Prophet, peace be upon him, invited Jewish rabbis into the mosque. He invited the Christians of Najran to his mosque for days. So we have no restriction to invite non-Muslims in. We have nothing to hide. We're proud of where we pray to God. And we're not a secret society. We are human beings who love peace, who love our neighbors, and everyone is welcome. I encourage everyone watching to please visit your mosque, okay? We'll give you a personal tour and answer all of your questions. No obligations, free of charge. Just this is your right to know, and it's our obligation to open our hearts and homes and mosques to you.
Now what you've been waiting for, when we come back, answering the bold statement that being anti-Islam, if you're a Christian now, is actually anti-Jesus. When we come back here in the Dean Show, we're going to be clarifying this. Don't go anywhere. Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, now what they've been waiting for, glued in from the beginning, this guy said, look, man, to be anti-Islam is to be anti-Moses, Jesus, Abraham, and all the prophets. Is this a true statement?
That's true, because the religion that God had for humanity is Islam, is peace. Adam was a man of peace. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, all of the prophets were men of peace. They were all calling to God. So if you go against one of them, you're going against all of them. If you say, I'm against Muhammad, well, you are against Jesus and Moses and Abraham and Adam and hundreds of other prophets. Because all of these prophets were not calling people to themselves. They were calling people to the one true God, Allah. And that's the unifying message for all humanity. We are not, Islam is not a religion for the Arabs. It's not a religion for the Turks. It's a religion for every human being. It's a relationship between you and God. And Jesus himself declared himself as a Muslim. Abraham and Ishmael, they declared themselves as Muslims. In the Quran says, وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ, make us Muslims to you, which means to be at peace with you, O God. And we have to understand that there is one God, one humanity, and all of these prophets, as our leaders and mentors and role models, are, in our faith, beloved Muslims.
That's amazing. When you really dissect the word Muslim, one who surrenders peacefully to the Creator of the heavens and earth, and has peace with his Creator, peace with society. We're not trying to harm nobody. We say, we open up the show, we said, peace be with you.
Exactly. And who is more embodies that than the prophets themselves? Muhammad, Jesus, Moses, Abraham. They are the role models in submitting to God and being at peace with God.
I really think, you know, and I've mentioned this before, you know, sometime not too long ago, you had these racist bigots, skinhead, KKK, people in the white thobes. Now the white thobes, it's not cool to wear that anymore. But now that racism, many that have inherited, you know, because you're not born with this hate, you've taught it.
Exactly.
So now they're just carrying over. Many people, they haven't figured out the purpose of life. They're angry with life and now just looking for someone to hate on.
To blame. And as a nation, the United States had this problem for a long time with different groups. You know, they hated the Jews at one day. They hated the Cubans. They hated the Mexicans, they hated, you know, the African Americans. And now it's our turn. They hate Muslims because they don't understand Islam. If you understand Islam, I encourage everyone watching, please take the time and study Islam. Ask Siri, you know, on your phone, tell me about Islam. Go on Wikipedia, read about Islam on your own. You know, you don't have to think about why, just read it, inform yourself, be an informed citizen. You will find for yourself that Islam is peace, Islam is love, Islam is respect, and you will come around not to hate Muslims. And I don't want people of this great nation to feel sorry one day in the future and say, you know, we have made a mistake as we did with the African Americans and the American Indians. No, learn. Today, this education, this information is available at your fingertips everywhere. There's no excuse to be ignorant anymore.
Islam is multi-race. Every person from any background is invited, and it's something...
People don't realize there is over 1.7 billion Muslims, according to the Pew Research Center.
Yeah.
And they are in every country, in every ethnic group, every language, there are Muslims in every shape and color. And that is the fact. Islam is not an Arabic group. Islam is a global faith, a global religion.
There was one politician who, he had his key researcher look into Islam, and a lot of times they look to try to cherry pick verses, to try to use them to incite fear, but anyone who just opens up the Quran, reads the before and after, will see the context of these verses and be like, oh, what this guy is saying is false. But this person was actually trying to ban the Quran. His researcher actually ended up accepting Islam. Did you you heard about this guy?
I heard about that, and that's the beauty about Islam. People from afar, they think Islam is a problem. Islam is promoting terrorism. But when they read the Quran for themselves, and that's why I ask people to read the Quran for themselves, they're going to find it is beautiful. It is promoting peace and love among all human beings. In chapter 49, verse 13, God said, O people, we created you from male and female, made you into nations and tribes to come to know one another, to love each other, to respect each other. That's the purpose, the mission of Islam. It's not to divide us as people, but to unite us as human beings. We share one world, and we should love and respect one another. Now, these people who cherry-pick the Quran, if they cherry-pick the Bible, they're going to find a lot of horrible things that they themselves don't agree with. And I say cherry-picking is not consistent with logic. You have to read the before and after. You have to put things into context, and you will understand the beautiful picture.
I often tell people, because obviously there's such thing as a just war. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the verses that are talking about any kind of battle, I usually ask people, I say, would you rather be in a fight with rules or no rules? So now when something's about to go down in a situation where, let's say, you are running a country, how do you apply these verses that now when someone looks at it and it says, oh, what this guy, these are these apologetic Muslims, and it says, you know, kill them wherever you find them, you follow me? How he's lying to us. They're doing taqiyya. They're deceiving us.
Well, Islam gives us clear rules of engagement, okay? Not to, even in war, you cannot attack civilians. You cannot attack people in their religious places. You cannot cut down trees. You have to do your best to preserve the peace. Now, the enemies of peace, they may wage war on you. Islam gives you the right to defend yourself. Now, tell me which war that Christians have done is according to the teachings of Jesus. Now, many Christians in this world, if they are true Christians and follow Jesus, can they actually go to war? Can they have even a standing army? But we know that Europe went to war, World War I, World War II. The United States has the strongest army in the world. Is this a Christian value? Why they don't ask themselves, why do we have guns? Why do we, as a nation, everybody has a gun on their waist? We have to understand that when we accuse somebody of something, we have to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, are we the ones who are guilty of that? There are millions of American Muslims. They don't own guns. They never fired a gun. And they don't have guns in their homes, because guns are tools to kill, and we don't wish to kill anybody.
That's really the facts. I mean, when
that's
you look
the facts on the ground.
Yeah, and I like what you said. So pick up the Quran. Do some research. Would you say also a good place to start is, I mean, because we want to know why we've been created, the purpose of life, is asking sincerely.
If you pick up the Quran, read chapter 3, for example, that talks about Mary and Jesus and her family, talks about Christians in very beautiful terms. You will see the similarities. If you read chapter 19, named Maryam or Mary, it is again about the stories of Maryam and Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the miracles. That's what we believe in. We are brothers. We are close. And Christians owe it to themselves to open this book and see it. Because if you just listen to someone who accused the Quran of things, you know, after 9/11, some people said, oh, there is a verse in the Quran that talked about 9/11 and that it's false. The internet is full of wrong information about Islam. So you have to read for yourself. You have no excuse today. You read many books, many novels. Take this one book, read it for yourself, and then you decide.
And people can visit you at your mosque anytime?
Anytime. I'll give them personal tour.
How can people, if they wanted to, tell us about your organization, if people want to get in contact with you?
Anytime you are in Orlando, Florida, going to Disney, please call on us and come and visit. We will love to have you. And we have open houses all the time, and we provide free meals, and we help our neighbors. So we'd love to have you.
As I always conclude, I say, look, the greeting of Jesus was not, hey, what's up? How you doing? It was, peace be with you.
Exactly.
So we started with peace. We end with peace. Salaam alaikum.
Salaam alaikum.
Alaykum salam.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for tuning into The Dean Show. Again, subscribe if you haven't already. Pick up the Quran, read it. It's not going to hurt you. You can get one for free, 1-800-662-ISLAM. And before you learn Islam from someone who's full of hate, spewing hate, I mean, you did the right thing. You tuned into The Dean Show and you got a different perspective. And this will only enlighten you. It will only open your mind and your heart. And even at the end, if you don't agree with Islam, the message, at least now you had come, you had investigated, you have sat with some Muslims, and you'd see that what you've been taught is actually something that is not true. But you've actually opened your mind. You've been humble enough. Because at the end, what will happen? If you follow someone of hate, you end up just spewing more hate, the heart grows with hate, and you just become bitter and angry. But at the end, what happens? You go in like the gentleman did in Arizona.
What struck me the most, honestly, was when I took a minute to actually talk to some of the Muslim people to find out, you know, they are just like me, and I am uneducated on their religion. You know, I could easily make as many mistake judgment calls as any other person out there. But when I took a second to sit down and listen to them and actually enter their mosque and go in and watch some of their prayers, it was a beautiful thing.
And he sat with the Muslims, he came in there, had a totally different perspective, and then the heart softens and maybe even got a new friend. So this is what we need to do. We need to go ahead and build these bridges. We need to communicate with our brothers in humanity, share this with your neighbors, share this with your friends, and continue to tune in here to The Dean Show. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Islam says love all mankind. That's why we're sharing this message, because we want the best for you and we want the best for all mankind.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.